I mean, we should just start the fucking show.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Right? Yeah. Might as well.
Welcome to AE Double Back for September. Oh, stop. Oh, stop. For September 8th, 2021. It's a couple days late because I'm in New York and Sling is a bastard. Sling can go to hell. I still can't get it to work, by the way. I can't get it to work on my computer. I had to watch it on my phone because Sling was like, no, I don't understand browser.
That's so bizarre.
Well, you know, of course, you have to be pure of heart.
That is going to be a problem, and they should have mentioned that in the FAQs, because I would have gone to YouTube.
Well, let us know if you need Caller and I to describe things to you, and you can just judge off our descriptions.
Here's the thing. I watched it real small, so if I, like, miss some hand fighting, you can just tell me.
Okay.
I bring up hand fighting because I am going to bring up, like right off the bat, I'm going to be talking about fucking JR and words that don't mean things.
Sweet.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, like mano a mano.
Your untrained ear. I think that means something in some language.
It means hand to hand, but everyone thinks it's man to man, but it's hand to hand.
It has become, in English, it now means man to man, which is real unfortunate. Yeah, but
in American English.
But, you that's know, the hand can be a man's hand.
Could be. But then, you know, that's like also saying mankind and I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. But
yeah, where were
we need more words. We need more fucking words.
Oh, yeah.
Why do we stop? We need more words.
And we shouldn't be learning the ones in anyone else's language. We should only be coming up with our own.
Or if we do, maybe learn what those things actually are and apply them appropriately. Okay, so the first match of the night.
Oh, real quick. Uh-huh. We got to shop at AEW.
Oh, right. I didn't look at that yet.
Pull it up. Did we talk about Redeem These Nuts last week?
I think we did, yeah.
Okay. We got a new Lucha Bros shirt. Have you seen the new Lucha Bros shirt? Come on now.
I haven't opened Teresa. It up yet.
Teresa.
I haven't gone to shop at AEW because I like to go fresh when we're recording. You know, so
I don't like shirt. Doing my homework either.
No, it's the surprise, you know, it's like a fun surprise when it's fresh.
Homework is bullshit. It's just capitalism teaching you that you have to work extra hours for no pay. Penta says, and new tag team champions, Lucha Brothers, Cero Miedo.
Let's see. There's, was the Malachi, I think it starts with Malachi Black, right?
No, we already covered that.
Did we?
Yeah.
We didn't.
Oh, because we did talk about the Redeem These Nuts.
Yeah, because he's wearing it during the show. He said it, and then he wore the shirt when he went in to deal with what's-his-face.
Oh, wait. Did
we talk about the one with the spider? Is that the...
I guess we didn't. I guess we didn't, because I don't recall talking about how he looks like a serial killer. Like, not like a scary... like movie serial killer, but like just one of those guys that is like, oh yeah, he seemed perfectly nice. And then you find out that he's got 40 bodies buried in his backyard.
I feel it's like every time we're ever talking about a serial killer where people claim they were quiet and seemed fine, like when you watch them in that thing, they do not seem fine.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I don't see the Lucha Brothers shirt on here. The fuck?
Where are you? You're at shopaew.com, right?
Yes. I went to new arrivals, so now I'm going to just t-shirts.
Oh, you got to go to departures.
Just ignore departures. Everything for the next 2 minutes.
Anyway, Calder, what do you think of this Malachi Black shirt? Well, Teresa.
I think it is always very unsettling to see an insect on someone that they are doing nothing about. And that really furthers the Malachi Black character. I like it.
Yeah, this is a cool shirt.
It's very him. It's very unique. I don't know that I would wear it, but like, yeah, props. That is
it's a cool design.
Bolstering the brand.
Then we got a 2.0 shirt, and you know, I don't know if anyone's ready for this one. It says "Get a Taste," and they are funny, you know, and I do like when they say "Get a Taste."
But and I do want to get a taste.
But you know, so it's there. It's a shirt if you're interested. Redeem these knots again. It's more perfect than perfection can ever be described.
Indeed. The next one.
There's an all-out shirt.
You're missing the Lucha Brothers shirt. What is going on here?
Then there's the Lucha Brothers shirt. Okay, so now I see it. It looks a match shirt for some reason to me.
Does it say and new?
Yeah.
Okay.
Penta says and new AEW Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little too much text for me.
It's a lot.
For me, I guess I think that the and new or and still phrasing is a little overdone. But the design is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big deal that there is a change to the belt after the Bucks having it for at least a year. But it's not the most important part of the announcement. So that's why it's like weird that that's the big part. But whatever.
Well, it's the moment at which the announcer's like message hinges,
right?
Like that's
true.
When you learn,
I
don't know.
It would be something more like them with their belts. That would have been cool. Which I'm sure.
Preferably something showing how bloody the belts got.
I'm sure we'll get that. That's very on brand for AEW. We got a Christian Cage shirt. Meh.
Yes, we do. All right, moving on.
It's okay.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. And somebody put a lot of work into making that.
If you like Christian Cage, this is a very intricate design and you might enjoy it. Next is Ruby Soho. It's basically kind of like a Joan Jett theme of a shirt, which is
it's a jacket. On a shirt, which is weird. Well,
I think that's why it's called Runaway.
Because the jacket ran away?
What? Yeah, the jacket is running away from you.
Joan Jett's original group was, am I wrong, the Runaways?
The Runaways, yeah. You're right.
No, you're correct.
Yeah, so this is like themed that way. Anyways, whatever.
Oh, yes. No, I'm just saying that putting clothes on clothes is weird.
It is weird.
It's like putting a picture of a hat on a trucker cap.
Well, it's okay if it's a t-shirt that looks like it is the tuxedo, but if it's a t-shirt depicting a tuxedo, that's a little more tacky. Yeah.
That's funny.
Exactly.
So yeah, this is basically a leather jacket, and on the back of the leather jacket is spray painted Ruby Soho. So
yeah,
it's her first shirt with AEW, and it's not bad.
Baby's first
it's
shirt.
It's not our favorite, but it's not bad.
I like it all right. I think she could have gone all the way and had Ruby Soho on the t-shirt over the jacket.
Yeah, I don't know. Just make the entire shirt a subway car and then spray paint all over it.
Yeah.
Next we have Adam Cole, All Elite Baby, which he was wearing during Dynamite.
Yep.
And perfect during pay-per-view, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
Simple and exactly what it should be.
A shirt that says, "The American Dragon is back, Bryan Danielson." It's fine. It just, all these are just like text announcements.
Yeah. Those kind of shirts, I'm sure, sell like some.
Yeah.
And because they're so cheap to make, like just put them out and then like they'll have like a real design also. And that's fine. It is what it is.
Don't I think care for them, but a lot of people are going to be super into that one just because of the history that it's citing.
If you're buying it at the place, like the people who bought the punk shirts like where he debuted. Like, that's something. And this is, like, it's fine.
Next we have the Moxley shirt, John Moxley, Unscripted Violence. And this looks like it's probably really Cincinnati themed. I don't understand the sport references other than what looks like a hockey puck. And it looks like he's in a hockey outfit.
Yeah, he appears to be.
Because this one's called Cyclone on mine.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure, it's a hockey reference, and I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, I would say the hockey puck and the hockey stick are hockey references.
But I mean, okay, so is there a team called the Cyclones or something?
The Cincinnati Cyclones.
Okay,
Because there's a little thing that says it's not affiliated with or endorsed by the Cincinnati Cyclones.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, great, sure.
So, yeah, he's just letting everyone know that he's still into hockey, and he's definitely from Cincinnati.
I don't.
Also, there's a Pittsburgh towel, which a whole bunch of people had that night that she was in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and were like waving it, mm-hmm. and, like, as that's a local thing.
Yeah,
yeah. So, the infamous Pittsburgh Steelers terrible towel. Britt Baker courting legal action here, but that's that's who she is.
I'm sure there was a note that said this has nothing to do with the infamous Pittsburgh Steelers terrible towel.
It must be on the other side.
Must be.
So yeah, other than t-shirts, we also have wrestling to talk about. We've got Malakai Black versus Dustin Rhodes. Before I say anything, let's ask you guys what your thoughts are.
It's fine. I generally don't care for seeing Dustin, but I love Malakai. It was sloppy, and that finishing his Black Mass like hit Dustin on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't know whose fault that is. I feel like Black used to do some scary Black Masses, and I never could figure out how it looks so good without like literally ripping the head off of every person he does it to. And now I've seen a few of them in AEW that are just like nothing.
Yeah.
That are just weak as shit. And it's disappointing.
I think the way he was doing it was always like in The Prestige or whichever, where you think that like he's doing it safely and it's fine, but it turns out it was not.
What you're saying is that he teleported in a clone of every person he did the Black Mass to, and underneath arenas around the country, there are just huge jars of dead wrestlers.
I think we have to assume that there are a lot of human remains underneath the rings.
Yeah, fair.
We have to.
What prompted you to have us talk about it? Because you have some issue?
No,
or
I just want to make sure you guys get your bits in.
Oh yeah. I want to applaud Teresa for taking on affirmative action for men.
It's so rare that men get to talk and have a chance to talk over women. So like it's really nice that we.
And
are.
I, as a white man, especially marginalized and vulnerable.
Okay, fine. I will say this too. JR said, "Take a deep seat," and I was like, "What the fuck, JR?" And then later on, he says, "Former kick fighter." And I'm like, "That's
I
not
heard
a thing,
too.
JR.
Kick fighter. What the fuck?"
And here's the thing, though, is later on in the show, he's like, "Yeah, sometimes I say like dumb shit," and okay, I'm like, you know what? That's exactly right. I do want to make clear that as I am making fun of JR, the dude's a goddamn legend, and nothing I can say could take anything away from that. And no amount of his weirdness from him will make me think less of him.
Right?
He's still one of the greatest ever on that announce table. So. You know, I'm just going to take some shots and it'll be fun.
I have a lot of faith in your ability to ultimately take something away from him with your words.
JR's pretty funny. It reminds me of my mom. My mom has the weirdest sayings that I don't think actually exist in the real world, but like she says them like it's a thing. And yeah. So I then think it's a thing, but when I say them, I am looked at with such shock and horror. Not really shock and horror, because they're not terrible things to say, but I just mean people are like, what the fuck is that? Anyway.
I remember one time that I like mistook like a colorful like a perversion of phrase by Roald Dahl for like an actual expression. So that when I then said to someone that something only happened once in a blue baboon, that turned out to not have the intended effect.
Yeah.
You got played, son.
Like people have to
Roald Dahl, you got me.
All right. So my thoughts on this, Madge, Malachi Black, your entrance is too slow. I like all the beats.
Slower.
I like all the elements, but it's too fucking slow. It's just like, if you never listened to us when we covered WWE, the fastest way to get me to instantly hate something is to have an unreasonably slow entrance. And again,
now isn't that a paradox? Going slow is fast.
You know, I like all the elements, but he can do those faster. And I don't know if it's because he's like, but the song, guys, I can't come in until this word. I don't know. All I know is it's annoying.
Which word is it? Is it?
Exactly. Or is it? The word no one else seems to know. He's just the one that can hear it. Let's see. JR said hyperbole instead of hyperbole, which I thought was probably a joke because, like, my mom says schedule instead of schedule.
I noticed that, and I know that he does it on the regs.
Yeah. And
so, like, that is 100%.
He's not a dummy or anything. He knows what he's saying.
Yeah. It's no. I think it's a callback to Gordon Solie, who used to call the move a souple. And she's like, yeah, like, that's like his thing, and people always know that. And so it's, you know.
There you go.
And also, that just made me think of like JR is known for like Oklahoma isms. Mm-hmm. Like that's a hotter no, but or tougher than a blah, blah, blah.
Like and, sexism.
Yes, it's tougher than sexism. and we just all sort of accept like, oh, that must be a thing that, you know, he says. But I think like your mom, there's got to be at least a handful of them that is like, I'm going to see if I can slide this by. Man, that is wetter than a chicken's anus.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
I mean, you're famously wet. Something
he relies on, Oklahoma. Like, ran like a scalded dog, like enough that I don't know if he's that adventurous.
Like, what happened in your hometown? Why are you scalding all these dogs? Anyway, so Taz, you can hear him crack himself up, which is great. But
that's one of my favorite bits.
So here we have some issues. It was not a smooth match. It was really boring. Dustin was doing these things like making himself fall. He did it twice. And Malachi Black was nowhere near him.
Are you talking about the thing where he falls on his back and then like punches?
Slaps or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, that's one of his signature moves. That's a thing that he does. I've never liked it, but
it looks
that's
terrible. His thing. It looks like a mistake is the problem because we don't see him very much. I'm not familiar with everything he does. So when you just see it, it's like, what the fuck? So, okay. I'll cross that off the list as a bad thing.
You're off the hook.
you're definitely allowed to not like
it. Yeah, I don't like it,
but it is intentional.
So there was a two count, and instead of waiting for Malachi, Dustin pushed Malachi up, or what the fuck? It was like he pushed someone up instead of waiting for Malachi to kick out. Like Malachi, he had him in a weird way on his shoulders, like kind of
tilted. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I was like,
that's
what
a thing
the
where-
fuck? Like that was really clear that you pushed him up and not waited for him to kick out.
Yeah.
Why?
It's when a wrestler is like sitting down, the person who's being pinned is on their shoulders, their legs and hips are up in the air, and then the pinner like pushes their hips away. I did notice that too this time. It is also a thing that is very common, and I've never understood that.
It just looks again like a camera angle mistake or something. You know what I mean? Or a timing issue.
I think it's a thing that properly done, you know, like you're helping the other wrestlers sort of like get out. They're the ones who are sort of supposed to be initiating that, and you sort of like, yeah, surreptitiously like give them a little push. But I think it's so common now, kind of like the reason they blend the thigh slap in WWE. Mm-hmm. People are just like being lazy about it and just like shoving, and it just looks terrible.
I think if it's a timing issue, it probably goes back to a mistake that Malakai Black made during his walkout.
Agreed.
He timed it wrong somehow.
The whole thing is lagging now.
Because you know, you're standing there at the gorilla position. Mm-hmm. You say start the clock. You then start in your head singing the song that you know the exact, you know, length of. You're like, mm-hmm.
Is it rah rah, or is it rah 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 rah?
And you know, like it, you know, if you start off like wrong right off the bat, then every blow in the ring is also going to be off.
Yeah, that makes sense. Malakai brings out Cody's boot and throws it at Dustin. Oh, and then again, the heel of Malakai got Dustin's shoulder really clearly, the back of his shoulder, not his head. So and, you know, Dustin had to pretend like he was knocked out. Like, I don't want to hate a Malakai Black match. I don't want to hate it, but this was boring and it was not fun. It was not good. What is going on? I'm like, I don't know if I'm middling or downing. That's how bad it
wow.
is.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did thumb it up just because, like, man, I really love Malakai Black, but yeah, it is. I don't fault you for making the call you're making. Also, for the record, when the blood comes out of the mouth like that, that's a blood capsule.
Mm.
If it's coming from anywhere on the head, that's a cut.
Hmm.
Yeah, I also thumbed it up just because, you know, I actually like the entrance. I think like ultimately it could be a thing where it becomes cut down in like future like appearances, but that you're going to have a longer version at first, possibly. I mean, who knows? But like I really found the stuff with the boot effective. Like whenever they do a thing like that, it feels like legitimately transgressive in the way that it does. If you try to unmask someone, if you are like, I'm going to mess with that retirement boot or whatever, like that, like, you know, I don't know why it's in a new town, but you know, that's okay. What's important is that he disrespected it. And, and I generally thought that Malakai was like, Dustin is definitely not like the best, forum. And I think that could be part of what's happening. Like, I thought Malakai did well against Cody.
Yeah.
I think Cody is generally very good as a partner for people, to help them look good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're not going to expect Dustin to be that anyway, but I did think that what Malakai was doing was like, his sadistic qualities are really there. His darkness feels like it's there. I like what he's doing.
What's with the sitting though? Like, he doesn't have to sit at the beginning of his entrance and sit at the end of his entrance. Can he just choose one and stick to that? I don't know.
Well, if he's OCD like me and has a lot of issues with symmetry, he might feel like he really has to do both.
He's got a bookend.
Yeah.
I started it. I have to end it this way.
And his entrance also could be getting drawn out from the fact that he needs to walk the same number of footsteps on every section of the path between the backstage and the ring.
Could be.
You know, like if there are tiles that we're not seeing or whatever, and he's like,
gotta consider this kind of thing, Teresa. It's really unkind of you to not take that into account.
What it is, what it is ableist.
It's true. Yeah. I understand the world of neuroplasticity. I understand the non-neurotypical world is not often taken into account. So,
and you know, we appreciate the steps you're trying to take with the male gender, but you know, you clearly have a lot of progress to go.
What I did at this match, I officially down it.
Wow!
Oh wow! Wow!
I just really was not happy.
Okay.
But we follow this up with a Lucha Brothers promo, and it was fucking awesome. And I'm so goddamn happy because now we'll see them all the time.
Yeah.
Because now they got the belt, so they'll be there all the time. Big thumbs up for me.
Oh, yep, yeah.
Same.
Yeah, it's great because it's a nice continuation of the genuine feelings that were there in them winning in the first place. Like what happened with Kofi Mania over in WWE, the thing where you're like, I really wanted that, you know, like even separating them from the character, like I wanted that person to be rewarded. And I know that there's a real world accomplishment and a kayfabe accomplishment. And I enjoy the genuine emotion that is coming from the real world element. And like you feel that in stuff like this promo too.
Yeah, for sure. Then we have a promo. It's both Eddie Kingston and Miro. Kingston is so goddamn good. I can't love it more. And of course,
Miro's have you great. Seen him promo a cookie before?
Promo cookies? Yeah, I did see that when he was just they were just riffing.
Yeah.
He's
fucking
he's so good.
He really is. Apparently, All Out had the biggest audience in like all pay-per-view history. Is that true?
Not all pay-per-view, all in, AEW pay-per-view.
He said not just AEW.
Well,
maybe that was hype.
I mean, there's
been much larger, but
there's no way that it was the biggest pay-per-view event of any kind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
But it did very well. Also, did we talk about the fact that Dynamite did
beat Raw
better in the demo than Raw?
We didn't talk about it yet, but yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we should.
Okay, not a big deal. Not a big deal.
It's kind of cool. It's a cool little feather in the cap.
I'll only say, like, and this kind of goes along with something we, I think, maybe occasionally touch on in terms of, like, the tribalism of wrestling and, you know, like, so that there's the talking trash on others and then there's the, like, talking up your own accomplishments.
Right.
And honestly, I don't know that I get so into either of those things because I like things from the other promotions. And also, like, to have like AEW do like this well or twice as well as that, or I'm like, I don't know. What matters to me is that like Time Warner is happy with them mm-hmm. and wants them to stay on the air.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like honestly going in either direction, I don't know if I want it. Like I don't want them to go away. I don't want them to kill WWE. I don't want them to have 10 more hours on the air than they have now because I won't be able to watch it. So
right.
if they're healthy, that's good. Yeah. I don't get more out of it than that.
Well, I gave this promo a thumbs up.
Oh, absolutely.
Same. Yeah. Broken bones. I'm going to give your broken bones to my bride and your broken soul to my God.
God. Oh boy. So good. And also, I want to call out something that Miro said on Twitter after the pay-per-view. Like in response to Eddie's shirt, he said, your wish is granted. Your nuts have been redeemed.
That's fucking good. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's just a million promos. Then we have a CM Punk promo, but he's in the ring. You know, just cut to the chase. I know he's new and everyone's excited, but come on. So Ann Linda, Brian Pillman Jr.'s grandma?
His aunt.
His aunt.
You should watch that Dark Side of the Ring episode. It's real good, and it does tie into this. They're using it as storyline.
Yeah, absolutely. Now. It sounds
Aunt cool. Linda was the one who raised Brian Pillman Jr. And you know, so yeah, she's a sweetheart, and everybody's gonna love her, you know, forever and ever. Kind of like Trent's mom, but like times a thousand.
Yeah. Yeah, Punk really, you know, was so sweet to her in that. Also, he gave everyone a huge rub. I mean, he was naming people in the back, and holy shit. I was like, it's great.
I was commenting, I was making a note of that myself, like just how selfless he seems to be and how like it's not just a job to be done, but that he seems to really relish doing that work for other people, because yeah, he was doing it all over the place here.
Yeah.
He's really a value added entity. Like we can talk about whether a lot of the additions like begin to harm the existing talent and their opportunities. And incidentally, I don't know if you guys heard about what was going on with Brian Cage and his wife on Twitter.
No.
Well, it was, you know, I'm sure it's really not that big a deal. I don't think it does Brian Cage any favors, but there was something like from his wife about how he's getting lost in the shuffle and, you know, and how the new people are outshining and all of that. And it was understandable frustration, certainly. I don't know if it was helpful, but then again, I don't know if it's, like I said, I don't know if it's that big deal. But the point being that, yes, it, you know, you can add too many, but when you're adding someone like a CM Punk, where they're like, I want to, you know, expand opportunities, or I want to enhance everyone around me. Like, yes, I'm going to claim some opportunities, but you know, I'm really good. And while I'm here, I want to, you know, bolster the opportunities that remain for everyone. So I think it's great.
Speaking of Brian Cage, but I know he's not in this thing. So, okay. So Punk is asking the crowd who to fight next. Cause he's like, you know, I'd got Darby, whatever. Now what? And so they're all shouting things, whatever. But Taz interrupts.
anytime he shows up, it makes things so much.
And if for some reason, doesn't want Punk to wrestle Team Taz. And Punk's like, send Starks, send Hook, send Hobbs, all four of you. Which I'm like, do you mean Taz as well? Because Brian Cage is no longer in Team Taz, although that would be great.
I mean, Taz used to be one of the greats, one of my favorite wrestlers back in the day.
I'm excited. I would love to see Starks and Punk. That would be fun. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's no, I'm just checking my notes and all of it was covered. Very good. Let's move on.
Well, I just am really excited to see CM Punk getting into an organic program, because he really is, what he's doing, I'm mostly experiencing for the first time as Teresa, I guess you are as well.
Yeah.
So watching him, you know, play all the notes is really cool. And also I want to salute him for the turn of phrase. It's like riding a violent bicycle.
Yeah, that was good.
That is good stuff.
This is followed by a Santana and Ortiz promo. It wasn't bad, but I don't know. It didn't really do much for me, so I middled it.
I loved it because I'm in my notes, quote, fast and good. It was just high energy and it's real fast. It got the point across and they got the fuck out.
Yeah.
Which is what they need to do. And they have so many people. This made me more excited to see Santana and Ortiz. And that's all they needed to do. All they needed to do to put my butt in the seat is get me excited about somebody. And they just did that. Also, the fact that they're moving on from the FTR feud is even better.
Yeah, that's much better.
Let's see some new stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the news of it is all good. I guess, and I don't know that I like this about what I feel, but I think that I do respond to someone who doesn't necessarily do something the best way, but who does the most things. You know, the way that Oscars get handed out to someone who's like, look at all the acting. I acted so hard. But like, so that because it wasn't intricate, I don't know. It was not bad at all. And the news is good, but I did middle it.
This is followed by an interview with Ruby Soho and Shivani. Brit interrupts. So Ruby is an amazing talker, and she's really showcasing that here. Brit is like, you know, they almost come to blows, but Brit's like, I got to rest up for my title match at All Out. And I was like, oh, there isn't anything else called All Out. Is there? Is that a mistake?
Like recover from what had happened.
Maybe that's what she said. I was like, what the hell was that? Anyways, and then Ruby is like, says Shivani, I know she's your girl, but I'm going to whoop her ass.
I knew you would love that.
I loved it.
I laughed at like out loud at that, but I also was like, because that's been Teresa's like thing for months, I just calling it out is going to make her go like pop so hard.
Yeah.
And it really was good.
Yeah. I was like, thank you for acknowledging. But yeah, thumbs up.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep, same.
Then we got Hobbs versus Dante Martin. Damn.
This is my shit, man.
Oh boy.
I grew up watching WWF wrestling in the 80s. Fell off like most do. Came back during the Attitude Era, but I really got charged up by ECW style, which Cornette.
Oh, come on. He's been nice lately.
Indie-rific, which is, I mean, that's fair to call it that. It's indie-rific, and I like it. That's the style that I like. And this kind of thing where you have a really fast-moving high flyer, you have a really, you know, big, strong dude going at it, that feels to me like the peak of that style. When you see one guy get to like really exert like, you know, huge power and fling around another guy who, you know, just goes flying and he looks like a sack of potatoes being flung around. And then he comes back with some really high flying gymnastic thing, which looks amazing. So like this is my wheelhouse and I love it and I'll watch it all freaking day long.
It's your wheelhouse, not your powerhouse, unfortunately.
You know what? Powerhouse.
Oh boy,
That's almost as good as friggin' Thunder.
I agree. Every time I hear it, I want to say it too. I'm like,
powerhouse. I mean, none of it compares to Michael Nakazawa.
This was a fucking awesome match. Great. Again, I love Hobbs. I love Dante Martin. They pair so well together. It's very clear, you know. Fucking A, I could watch it all day, every day. Thumbs up.
At one point, I think Dante Martin had this this particular leap out of the ring that was absolutely like stunning. Yes.
That was the point. Are you talking about the tope that he did?
Yeah.
Where Powerhouse caught him by his neck and then threw him into the ring post.
Oh boy.
I mean,
cause that was the point where I was like, oh, this is a thumbs up match. I don't remember. It was like a minute into it. I'm like, this is already the best thing I've seen in a long time.
It's like, cause it's like, you know, those cartoons when there's the King Kong and he's smacking, planes out of the sky kind of a thing. That is sort of what it conjures, like the idea of just a giant person and then this little person, and they could just swat them out of the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't, I don't want to run us long, but I also can't let go how angry I was in Kong Skull Island, because the choppers that Kong swats down, you could have flown away. Why'd you get so close? Why'd you get so close to Kong?
Choice.
Like he, like the only thing he can do is hit you if you're close enough, and you're a chopper.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Get it together, guys.
Also, want to highlight when Powerhouse throws Dante through the second and third rope. Like that took a lot of coordination between the two of them to make that look so terrifying.
Like Powerhouse is so strong. You think they went back and forth on emails a lot?
I think they're probably just IM.
Oh yeah,
instant messenger, like AOL instant messenger. To be clear, that's
maybe they did WhatsApp though.
Could be. And then his Dante's friggin' I think it was just like a crossbody. It was like it was a shotgun a drop kick. He gets so high,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's just like his body shape or the way the light hits him. If it's something he's doing that just makes it look like he's going higher than anyone I've ever seen in my entire life, or he is legitimately getting higher than anyone I've ever seen in my entire life. But my God, it looks so good. And this kid is 20 years old.
Yeah.
And just all the love to that. Just so good.
It's bananas.
Yeah. It's too bad he can't have a drink to celebrate.
You know what?
You know, maybe he's straight edge, and that's all right too.
Could be.
That's okay. So I want to note on this particular segment how good, you know, like we can always say Taz was really good, but I thought he was really funny during that segment as well, especially with his long like discussion of how he in fact actually really likes ballets.
Oh, is this the one where he's like, Hobbs, no.
Yeah. Oh, those are always my favorite.
I laughed so hard.
Yes, yes.
Also very funny.
Okay, so the next segment is a promo with Dan Lambert, and he's with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page.
Now, why can Dan Lambert not get permission to come down to the floor?
He's on restricted access right now.
I mean, it was the only way that Sting could get into the building for years. He would just be up there in the rafters, just hanging out.
I don't know what it is, because like various people, sometimes they just spend a while where they're just upper deckers only. Mm-hmm. Like Darby was for a long time hanging out in the upper deck only. The men of the year for a while, I think, were doing the same thing. I don't know what that's about. Maybe there's a security guard on the lower floor that people occassionally get into disagreements with, and it's like, I got to stay away from Harold because, you know, I just don't want to get into that today.
Some security guards at these arenas, when you have an all-access pass, they don't all agree to what that means.
Yeah.
And that is really annoying. I remember I would have these passes and my friend would be like, oh, come on. Like, I got you a pass, so just come meet me backstage. I'm like, okay. And depending on who I fucking talk to, they'd be like, you can't get back there. I'm like, I know I can because that was the whole point. But whatever.
There used to be a thing at Dodger Stadium where, like, technically, I don't think you were supposed to be able to go down to a lower level to get the garlic fry. You know, like, you weren't supposed to be able to go down there, but that was where the garlic fries were. And I think, I don't remember if there was someone who wasn't cool with it, but I, you know, somebody could have said, no, not even to get the garlic fries. And I'm like, come on, garlic fries to all the people.
Right.
But, you know, great use of Dan Lambert. He's really the best talker ever, and excellent use of this guy. Because I remember when he first couple times, I was like, holy shit, who is this guy? He needs to be on every fucking week. And they're doing it. They're using him in his perfect capacity, which is just to talk shit and peace out.
He is really good, and I thumbsed it up as well, but somebody was saying online something that I did kind of agree with, and it was about, you know, like, yeah, Dan Lambert is good, and yeah, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, like, are a nice unit, but, and I think that, like, Scorpio Sky has a lot that he's going to do and that he can do, but, like, Ethan Page is really good. And it would be nice if he was getting plenty of time, even with like whether Lambert gets over or doesn't get over. I mean, he's running some kind of an MMA operation. Mm-hmm. Ethan like needs to be getting mic time.
So does Scorpio. They're both really good. I don't think either of them need someone talking for them. And that is what we are losing in this moment.
I'll say this because harkening back to the Brian Cage conversation, one of the things that someone noted somewhere is that what used to happen when there were territories was there'd be a real hot feud. Someone would come in and like, you know, take on the some super bad heel would come in, take on the face champion, lose, and like decimate everybody, lose to the champion, and then he would just go away.
Huh.
And he would go to another territory where he would, you know, have a huge super hot feud with the face champion over there. And then when he came back in a year, all of a sudden people were like, oh my God, that guy's back. He's terrifying. I remember him. He's scary. But if you stick around for too long, you end up basically like having to turn face. And, you know, if that's not quite your wheelhouse, then you're just kind of stuck spinning your, I just used two wheel metaphors right there in a row. That's not
great. Wow. Why don't you go home?
That's kind of the problem that Brian Cage has right now. He isn't being used very well. And that's like, if he just went away for a little while, go wrestle some indies, go wrestle, I don't know, Impact or something like that, and then you came back, he would be terrifying again. And I kind of feel like that this year, both Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are great talkers. But if you lay off them a little bit, let someone else do the talking, then when they come back to talk again, then you'll be like, oh God, I forgot how good that guy is. Oh, that's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that.
Could be. Yeah.
I mean, it'll definitely be good when they do something again. Like what you were saying about somebody like working an area for a little while and then like moving on was made me think like, oh, that's like if there's a party where you only see those people like that one time every year. So you can get a little too drunk and they, you know, they'll lose respect for you in the short term. But by the next party, they'll be like, oh, there's that really fun guy.
Boy, that is super specific. And I don't want to know anything more. You know, I'm not going to ask any questions.
So moving right along, we have another promo. Matt Hardy basically saying to Orange, I'm going to cut your hair.
I don't know Hardy why.
And Orange saying, whatever. And I mean,
that was, oh my God, that was so perfect.
Yeah.
like it was, and what's great about Orange Cassidy is he is not scared of what an obvious thing to say. He's not scared of being minimal, of not doing much, because he knows what the effect is. Mm-hmm. So he knows what it's going to do to have such a short, affectless promo, because one guy gets to do that.
Yeah, you know,
one guy gets to paint the soup can. And everyone else gets to bitch about, I could have painted a soup can. Yeah, you could have.
Exactly.
You could have done it.
Yeah.
But it was so good. It was really amazing.
I made the note here, short and fast. And like the number of like sub 1 minute promos in the show is absolutely fantastic. Like the thing that I've always said about AEW that I like the best is that I get a look at a lot of different things. I'm not looking at the same WWE style over and over and over again. People are different and they let them be different. And this kind of thing, like I could see all sorts of different stuff and they don't ever outwear their welcome. I don't know that you could do this every week, but I love this and I would like to see it more. Like let's see friggin' 20, 30 segments in a show with a bunch of like real quick promos.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because this is followed by an in-ring promo with MJF. now, MJF said to the crowd, you potbelly pigs, and Taz clearly laughed. Trying to cover it. That was the best.
God, he's a fuck. And he calls it out, too. He's like, oh, you're going to say cheap heat. I'm like, you know what? Nobody should be saying like, ugh, he's just cheap heat. He is the goddamn master of cheap heat. If you are the master of anything, like John Waters is the master of, you know, bad taste.
Yeah, and
99.9% of the time, bad taste is not a good thing. But if you're the master of it, God damn it, I want to see it.
Yeah.
He is so good at this. And also, he knows where the line is, which is what Max Caster doesn't, which is why Max Caster got in trouble. But MJF just goes out like a house of fire,
yeah,
and never steps over the line. He gets real close. He got to abortion in this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
no one's mad about it because he knows who the targets are. He knows how far he can go, and he can just massage that line so perfectly.
Now, yeah, I personally thought he went too far with that. But, you know, whatever.
The fact that she is, like, obviously in on it because, like, she had a line.
I know
in the promo,
that.
I'm like, okay.
But I still think it's like a, I don't like those types of things, you know, like.
Okay.
Your mom should have swallowed. I'm hearing that a lot lately from different random sources, like on the internet or wherever. And it's like, I just don't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because also it somehow makes the mother a like there's something wrong with her too. Like,
right.
You know, your slutty ass mom should have swallowed or something.
Yeah. Yeah, those kinds of things can sure bother me whenever the crux of an attack seems to be this this asserting of like a patriarchal position that like you have to be the protector of this person, so that an attack on like a woman really matters because it's an attack on that guy.
Mm. Yeah, and then the whole thing of, you know, I'm going to do what your mom should have done and abort you. It's like, oh, yikes. You know, like, that's not cool either. Because especially right now when we're fighting, like, these issues in real time, it's painting it like it's putting it again in a – I don't know. It just puts it in the collective as something that's like, I don't know. I'm going to stop trying to explain myself because I can't get my thoughts together and it doesn't really matter.
No, it does matter. And I don't think you have to defend the position. It is a perfectly legitimate position.
How dare you?
Just in terms of like, you're not feeling it, even if, you know,
right.
We could probably all acknowledge that like technically, dude knows what he's doing and does it well.
He doesn't get in trouble with that. And Max Caster somehow does, you know what I mean? Like that to me, reeks of, some sort of hierarchy in the company.
I don't think that it was approved necessarily. Like the way he the way Max Caster sort of went at people, I think it was just sort of like on his own. Whereas because it kind of like, you know, in the ring, you know, two wrestlers are working together, and so in this promo segment, you know. Like obviously he had talked with Pillman and they discussed and like, okay, I'm going to say, you know, this about you. Is that okay? And she's like, oh yeah, totally. I'm like, and then you can tell me, you know, like go to hell or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I guess. Like, sorry, go ahead.
No. That's it. Like that is why I feel okay with it, because it feels like it's not shitting on someone. It's a choreographed dance.
I guess I kind of felt like there was a difference between what he did there, where essentially it was like using like abortion as sort of a metaphor of like, I'm gonna beat you up. And it was this kind of like non-real thing as opposed to like talking about the Duke Lacrosse stuff. I was like, you know, that's specific real world like stuff that like you didn't who did you talk to make sure that wasn't going to hurt the wrong people?
Well, I don't know.
But no, I agree. I do agree with you that, he does get real, he does get into troublesome territory.
The other stuff was fine. Calling the Midwest, he was like, everything is, it's called the Midwest because everything out here is mid.
Wild. Oh, yeah.
I liked how he yelled at Linda. He's like, Linda, don't make eye contact. If you make eye contact, I'll knock your teeth out. And she started laughing because that's like so ridiculous. That's the kind of shit that I like out of MJF. But yeah. Brian Pillman Jr. came out and he cut an amazing promo. I mean, it was incredible. It was so good. And he's like, I'm from a city that breeds badasses. I'm like, fuck yeah, man. So it also looks like there's trouble during this promo. It looks like there's more brewing trouble between MJF and Wardlow. Griff Garrison came out to help Brian Pillman because, of course, some shit started going down, but this whole thing got a thumbs up for me.
It got a thumbs up for me. I did think, like, boy, this is a step down for MJF from Jericho to the Varsity Blondes, but it totally makes sense. And it forwards, you know, multiple storylines. So, like, go nuts.
I think it makes a lot of sense to go from like the veteran Jericho to like an up and comer that they're very high on. It's good variety. Like there was a lot in this segment that was really very amusing or kind of perhaps confounding because it was just funny to me, I guess. And I don't know these regions, but to contrast like scrappy, blue collar Cincinnati with like luxurious Long Island, I was like, I guess my impression is that Long Island is, you know, not wildly different socioeconomically, but I couldn't really say I know, I guess.
I guess it depends.
MJF like attacked the Cincinnati Reds, but Brian Pillman did not bother to defend them. Instead, he was repping the Cincinnati Bengals.
It was fun. But then this is followed by a Moxley promo. It's a short one. He's absolutely perfect. He's saying basically to Minoru Suzuki, like, you win the jungle, you gonna die.
It was great. Oh, my God. His delivery on that was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is followed by Jamie Hayter versus Ruby Soho. They had the song go on way too long, and I was like, what's the problem? Like, do they pay so much for it that they have to have it play for 100 hours, or are they so used to having to play CM Punk's music for fucking ever that they're like, now we don't know when to turn these off?
Someday I'm going to show you a New Jack match where you had Natural Born Killers playing the entire match.
But,
like, they would just keep the music playing. It was fantastic.
I mean, how much of Judas do they play?
Too much.
I thought the match was really decent. Ruby is really good at selling shit. That's the thing that I think that definitely this division can work on is selling shit. Although they do a good job, but man, Ruby's just really good at it. So in this match, Britt ends up attacking Ruby, but Riho comes out to help, and then Statlander comes out. And I was like, this is cool, because this is like, this could help build storylines. Always interested in ways to connect wrestlers that weren't there before. So thumbs up.
You want to talk about like a Hobbs no when the tiniest person in the company rushes out to someone's defense, like somebody's gotta don't let Rio go out there to get destroyed instantly. Why do that?
I honestly thought what you were about to say there along the lines of Hobbs no is Taz singing Ruby Soho at the end really badly and just selling it. It was so great. The ending was a little weird, but like the overall match was good.
It was great. And I think like you know, we were talking about what the women's division needs to do. And like based on who's been coming in on top of who's already there. And I certainly hope this match is like an indicator of what they're going to like prioritize. Not that they, you know, did any more women's stuff this episode than they ever do. But these are exactly the women that like are who would be powering the surge. Like, cause they, you know, they have a lot of really good women, but
absolutely,
like new arrivals like these, particularly, Ruby Soho, Jamie Hayter, and the people who ran in, like they gotta be front and center.
Yeah. Okay, so this is followed by a promo that I absolutely loved. Okay, it starts with Brian Cage saying, "Ricky, aren't you sick of this?" Cut to immediately Ricky saying, "I'm sick of this."
Yeah.
The whole thing was so good. It's going to be a one-on-one match between Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. I mean, God, of course I want to see that. I want to see that every single week. Thumbs up.
It's great, and it's only a shame that Ricky Starks is the kind of guy where he does benefit some from being elusive or being like a little scarce. Because like, yeah, like I would want him all the time, but he has to be the slippery, running away guy who disappears when things are rough, because he really is so good. And I really want to see that match.
This is followed by FTR and Sean Spears versus Stu Grayson, Evil Uno, and John Silver. This was interesting.
I'll say that I am ready for the Dark Order to be really prominent for a period right now, because they felt like they've been backburnered, and I really want them to have like a big moment to have what's going on.
Well, it looks like they're going to break up. Like, they have fights scheduled.
Yeah, against each other. I don't feel good about this at all.
You know? And, like, Anna Jay is trying to, like, calm them down and stuff. And I don't know, man. Silver ends up getting pinned. And so then the Dark Order start fighting each other over that. I mean, I don't know. I gave the match itself, though, a middle.
Huh.
I gave it a thumbs up because it was, you know, pretty standard stuff.
Yeah.
All good wrestlers, and you know, the action was fine. It was primarily intended to like further storylines,
right.
which is all great. I continue to be sad because of this inevitable breakup. Although it might be that they're angling, because they did talk specifically about there being no leader, and I kind of wonder
if maybe Adam Page is going to come back. Be their leader.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that are open to like there. Like we were seeing the women like look like the coolest heads in the room.
That's
and
true.
The potential like strongest leaders.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it could go to Anna Jay.
That'd be cool.
It might. I have faith in them. So I'm just going to let it be what it is. I am sad because of the thought of the Dark Order breaking up.
Yeah.
But let's see where this goes.
I was thinking about that, and not that I would want it to break up, but I also was thinking about like the tragedy of a relationship that is inextricably bound to a tragedy.
Yeah.
That's true. So that like what it is to be married to someone with whom you had a child who perished, and what that relationship becomes, and why people leave those relationships sometimes, which is pretty heavy. But the point being, like, if any of them were like, it puts me in a certain headspace all the time,
right,
to be a part of this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I get that.
I feel that. Yeah.
That's true. There was a really sweet promo. We've got Penelope, Bunny, Ty, Anna, Jade, Nyla, Rosa. They all did like cut a little promo and it was all together. And I was like, man, I'm excited because it looks like they're starting to build up storylines and possible tag teams or factions of some sort. And I am here for it. Thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, really, this is all about what's boiling over from the YouTube shows, because I know this stuff is going on there and I'm not ever checking it out like I'd like to. But right. Yeah, like here is where it counts the most.
Yeah.
I middled it because it felt to me like it's exactly what I've been saying that I like, you know, we keep it fast and keep it hard and everybody's, you know, like top energy. But also it felt like, and then all the women. You have, you know, 4 seconds to get your thing across. We're cram all in there and then out. And that rubbed me a little bit the wrong way.
I agree with that. But I'll say that the reason why I like it this way is because we have not seen any storylines for these women. So to have them separate sort of like unlinks them from the rest of the division. So having them all together, you feel like, oh, right, there's all these other women. And oh, right, this is a fucking division. You know what I mean? We've constantly seeing them on their own, maybe two here or there. But like having them all in this segment just sort of reminds everybody like, whoa, fuck, we got some talent and it's a whole division of it and we can do something with this.
Yeah, you got to see the community, like the way that you need to see, like the way they have gender segregated, like groups running into people's defense, right? So that like the male locker room empties out for a male fight, and you want to see like the women like come out like to in response to something as well, and it's in those group settings that you get a lot of information. That, you know, helps you, helps them, helps everybody. It's a great deal. I liked it too.
Yeah. So then we have Shivani and Tully in an interview. Okay. So basically they asked for a Darby Sean Spears match, but also Sting versus Tully. And I'm like, why? And he made some little wink to the camera, like, I'll be doing this one last time. And it's like, I'm sure there are people that absolutely love this man. I'm sure there are people that have followed his career and are real excited to see him bow out some specific move that he did his whole career. But I'm not interested. And so I middled it.
I thumbs it down because the promo was whatever, it was middle. But the idea of Sting and Tully in a match.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Do not want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also downed it. There was not a lot that I liked here because I don't want to see very old men fight. And honestly, I don't even care to hear Tully cut a promo generally.
Think about it. There's so much talent right now. There's so many people vying for a spot. So it's like really a very privileged, like, you know, doff the cap or whatever to this gentleman Tully as he decides that he wants to do this specific move one more time. Okay, we'll do this for you because you're a legend. You know, but it's like really cutting into other people's time.
Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, not to hyper react to what outsiders say, and frankly, not to see people as outsiders either. But when there's all kinds of talk about like AEW signing all these ex WWE guys, and sometimes going awfully heavy on veterans and old guys. Well, we know how many young guys they have and how many promising up and comers they have. So it's not like that feels like that's the true thing. But then to be like, well, we're going to overly indulge the oldest people we have. I don't know. I mean, maybe it ends up being a small footprint thing. I don't know, but we'll have to see.
Let's see. there's a Sammy PNP. I only mention it just because sometimes you guys like to talk about it, but it was really nothing.
All I'll say is that that sign gimmick is shit as a face. Like, as a heel, he gets to say some, like, snarky thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh! But when he's like, hey, guys, everything's great, and it's only getting better.
Yeah, that's true. Cool.
It's a good thing we're not rating this, because that's really going to drag the show down to have two downs
now,
in a row.
If people all love Ted Lasso, why don't they like Face Sammy's sign gag? I don't get that.
Because he's not being played by
Jason Sudeikis.
Thank you. I almost said Bill Hader because I always get those two.
Oh my God, how dare
Jason
you?
Jason Sudeikis is the king of the shitty guy that like can make a comment that makes people laugh so he gets away with being a shitty guy.
Colossal, good movie, by the way.
Didn't see it.
Oh, I should see that.
In any event, yeah, like I like that when they like try to use the unique conditions of the commercial break P&P. Like, I remember a while back you guys were really digging like a hidden camera thing that they did.
Yeah.
I don't remember more of the details of it, but like that aspect of it I think is cool.
I agree. I totally agree. All right, so then we have Marvez in an interview with Pillman Jr. and Garrison in the medical office. Pillman Jr. basically challenges MJF. And then the Acclaimed come out. And basically Pillman Jr. and Max Caster have a match on Rampage, which we're currently missing. But anyways, we'll watch it later. But I gave this a thumbs up.
I mean, it's okay. We'll we'll watch Rampage when Dynamite is on.
down.
Oh,
honest again. Like Pillman and Griff are fine, but their mic skills don't do much for me, even when they're like fully on fire like this. And Max coming in, like, "What up, varsity bitches?" I'm like, oh, this guy has been paddled hard and is now very tentative, which is not what that character works best at. And so it was just all around just like, this is nothing. This is nothing.
Did you see them do their promo where he ripped up the thing? Okay, so the Acclaimed come out. This, I think, was on Dark. And he comes out with a script in his hand. And he's saying it. It's really, like, dumb. And so then he's like, you know what? No. And he tears it up. And the audience was like, boo. So then they tears it up. And they're like, yay. And then he cuts a savage little promo, little rap thing that he does. And it was good.
That's a nice savage little promo, buddy.
Yeah, good. It was good.
We're gonna put that on the fridge.
So he's not that tentative.
Okay, well then maybe he's just not comfortable in doing small two-person scenes,
maybe,
which is, you know, something you come across frequently in improv, so why not in professional wrestling?
Right.
Is that an accusation? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying I've been to your 101 shows,
oh,
Calder, and I am not impressed.
I mean, 101. No one's good in 101. Anyway. Okay, so did we all...
So what did you give this, Calder?
I middled it because it was... It wasn't bad. I thought it was all right.
Rainbow. Oh, yay. So then we have Tony Schiavone in the ring with the Elite, and I lulled. Kenny's suit jacket, the Goeld, as he likes to say. Don takes the mic away from Schiavone, of course. Adam Cole comes in, and he says to Schiavone, he's like, leave, nerd. Just kept calling him a
God.
Nerd.
He kept calling him a nerd.
Oh,
that
was so funny. It was so funny.
It was... There's this this horrible strain of verisimilitude to the bullying, because I feel like there is an element of bullying where in the moment you're like, what I'm being attacked with is very stupid and very effective.
Yeah.
They're not clever, but they are making me cry. this whole segment was full of great heel stuff.
Absolutely.
I particularly need to call attention to, I forget which one, but one of the Young Bucks now had a nose chain.
Oh, I think that's Nick. He's had that chain situation that, does it link to his cat also? Was that the one?
I don't know. I don't recall where it goes to. He must have had it before, but it was like I just happened to particularly notice it in this segment, and in general, I could quibble a little because I was really looking forward to seeing the Young Bucks, especially in the Elite, particularly as a whole, being like chastened,
yeah,
and like. Being humbled and like trying to work through that, like maybe not really openly doing it, but clearly like trying to still be themselves, even though they're deflated. And like, I don't know that we're getting all of that that I would like. It's a little muddled right now because the Young Bucks are losers, but Kenny Omega still is a winner.
Yeah.
So there's a weird, and I don't know if they're really doing something with that exactly. But it still, like, the segment had a lot of super fun stuff anyway.
Yeah. Kenny, he's on the mic and he's like, well, at All Out, we were interrupted, so let's keep talking. And then Bryan Danielson interrupts again and it was great. Bryan takes the mic, then Bryan and Kenny start fighting, then the Elite, then Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and Frankie Kazarian and, Christian Cage. It was like a big old kerfuffle, and then Danielson drop kicks Cutler.
I was so taken with that as a move because it was like he could be the most annoying member of the Entourage, but also it's Cutler.
Yeah.
You know, like
at least he's wearing a face guard.
Yeah. True. It just seemed like a funny thing to me that's who catches the abuse from Danielson. I don't know what I think of that.
I thumbsed it up.
I thumbs up the segment, yeah.
Super fun.
All right, so then we have the match of the night, Minoru Suzuki versus Moxley. And of course, it's Moxley getting a hometown welcome. He is walking through the whole stadium, loving it. Everybody's excited for him. Moxley bites at one point, Suzuki bites back. I mean, that's always a thing. But Suzuki's eye busted open. Like, busted open.
And
I thought it was a blade, and then who was it? I think it was Emi Sakura posted a video backstage, and he turns around and you see it. It's just his eyelid. It's just
shut.
Just
yeah.
Yeah. Gross. And he did in fact receive several stitches.
Damn. And like
on his eyelid.
Ooh. On his eyelid. On his eyelid. Yeah. I saw the picture of him with the stitches in, and man, he, you know, as they say, he got it hard way.
Yeah.
I love Suzuki trying not to fall. The whole thing.
Oh
of
my
like,
god!
That whole bit is like really great. Really enjoyed like, that.
His way, his execution of it was really like. There's a goofy element to it,
right?
Like it has a Jackie Chan-esque like quality to like him staying upright because it's like, yeah, you didn't go down, but you moved so much that it clearly affected you. But like it flows from this like lighter side of the whole warrior spirit thing that I really enjoy because like, and I know I've talked about this before, when you get over the idea that it's dumb to invite a blow and you start saying, well, the point is to take the blow.
Mm.
the point is to show that you can handle the blow. Like whenever there is a match that involves Japanese or Japanese like influenced wrestlers, when they have that part of it, the just the exchange of blows, I do really enjoy that.
Yeah.
For all that I was complaining about the slow pace of the matches in the pay-per-view, like I do really enjoy the Japanese style of a slow match where I, you know, don't as much of the American style.
Yeah.
So like this one brought me a lot of joy, including the fact that at the end, two people brought toilet paper.
Yeah, they threw it in the fucking ring. Why?
Yeah. It's a thing in Japan where they throw streamers into the ring. And toilet paper is very similar to that. But only two people bothered to do it. So it doesn't. Normally the entire ring gets like covered. Oh. And the ref, like part of the ref's job is like clear the shit out before the match starts.
Yeah. Cincinnati's Japanese American community might not be robust.
Yeah. Fair point.
But yeah, Sasuke was very bloody.
Oh, man.
And I thought, man, it's weird because it's almost expected now in matches. I was thinking back to, like, you know, the big matches that we've had, you know, the Lucha Brothers, they had to bleed like fucking crazy to get their belts, you know, and there's lots of matches like that we can point to, but it's almost expected. But this obviously was an accident, but still just sort of adds to that, I guess. But I give it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Definitely thumbs up.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wait. That's my turn now to do the thing where I do all the adding and the clicking and the tabulations and the, oh, boy. Okay, hold on. Give me a sec here. I got this.
Okay. Carry the one.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I was going to say carry the two.
This is an 87% show.
Wow.
Hey. Well done.
Even with some downs.
Wait, hold on. I got that wrong.
I was going to say.
Recalculating. 88% show.
Oh.
Whoa.
Even bigger.
Wow. You found
honestly,
the ballot?
Yes, it was a hanging chad. I thought it was going to be higher because of all of those real short segments that I liked almost all of. It's still a real great show.
I mean, That's a good strategy to just do like 500 excellent 2-second promos.
If you're trying to get a good rating from AE Doubleback, the podcast with literally dozens of listeners, then you know what? Absolutely.
Please, Baker's dozens.
We have 13s of people.
Shit. Yeah, I don't know. It was great, but I don't want it to get too much into the, like, we do a million promos and that's all we do.
Not every episode.
Yeah, but if you're going to do it, they do a good job with it, so.
Yeah. AE Doubleback on Twitter, AE_Doubleback on Instagram. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week.
Catch you at Rampage.